TV.
Many thanks for joining us. The U.S. Federal Reserve has warned that new poor economic data points to a sluggish recovery in the coming months. Minutes of the central bank's last policy meeting show all but one member of the Federal Open Market Committee has backed a return to some crisis-era measures. Minutes from the August 10 meeting show the committee has warned that the short-term economic outlook remains bleak. The committee has said it would need to take new stimulus measures if the outlook were to weaken further. However, the members have also said they expected that growth would pick up in 2011.
New figures show the unemployment rate in the eurozone remained at 10% in July. That's the fifth straight month in a row. The EU statistics agency Eurostat says almost 16 million people are unemployed in the 16 countries that use the euro. Spain has the highest rate of unemployment at almost 21%. This while Austria and the Netherlands have the lowest jobless rate among the 16 countries. The eurozone jobless rate remains at 12%.
While Middle East stock markets are still unable to recover from the financial crisis, Tehran Stock Exchange has kept on gaining. Gisu Misha Ahmadi tells us more.
The Tehran Stock Exchange continues to break its previous records, with the main index TEPEX shooting up about 4% in the last 2 days, now with a capital market worth some $81 billion. Driven by the government's push to privatize public sector firms according to Article 44 of the Constitution and the rise in commodity prices, the market has also benefited from a lack of investment alternatives, with less investments in the real estate sector and the falling interest rates, which have made bank deposits less attractive.
The P/E ratio in Iran is around 6. It shows that the stocks are very cheap. This ratio in some other exchanges is around 15 and more. The profitability of the listed companies in Tehran Stock Exchange increased to $12 billion.
Officials say there's still plenty of room for growth.
Obviously, the index will fluctuate, but what's important is the transaction volume has increased as well, which means that the market is highly liquid. On the other hand, the good weather conditions, which has led to a high yield potential and the increase in non-oil exports, are all factors that will have positive effect.
Today's 776 transactions worth $119 million exemplifies the $9 billion worth of transactions over the past 105 working days, with a rate of return amounting to 35% for the 3.5 million investors. Tehran's stock market closed at 17,955 points on Tuesday, getting closer to breaking yet another record. Gisu Misha Ahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
At least 6 more foreign troops have lost their lives in eastern and southern Afghanistan. NATO says 4 American soldiers were killed in a bombing in the east of the country, and a 5th U.S. soldier died in a militant attack in the south. The deaths bring the number of American troops killed in Afghanistan since Friday to 22. Meanwhile, an Estonian soldier also died of wounds he sustained in a bomb attack in the southern Helmand province. At least 485 U.S.-led forces have lost their lives in Afghanistan so far this year. Earlier, we spoke with our correspondent in Kabul, Faiz Khorshid, about the latest foreign troop fatalities.
Well, NATO has just announced that 5 American troops have been killed today in the south and eastern Afghanistan. And these deaths have once again reminded the foreign soldiers stationed in Afghanistan of the risk they're faced in this country and raised serious questions about the chances of the U.S. and its allies to win over this war against the Taliban militants. And the Taliban attacks have increased dramatically over the past 2 weeks. And I think that the death toll of American and NATO soldiers here in Afghanistan will further rise as the Taliban militants have launched a massive operation, what they say, against the U.S. and NATO forces in almost all over the Afghanistan.
A new opinion poll shows Republicans have a historic lead over Democrats in the run-up to the midterm U.S. elections. The Gallup National Survey says registered voters give Republicans a 51% to 41% edge over Democrats. The poll also found that Republicans are more excited about voting in November The Republican Party maintains an unprecedented 10-point lead just 2 months before key elections. Historically, the party of a sitting U.S. president loses seats in midterm elections in his first term. But the survey is a blow to Barack Obama, who has been losing public confidence over the state of economy. Obama's popularity has deteriorated at a rapid pace only 20 months after taking office.
Hurricane Irla is moving towards the U.S. mainland as it remains a strong Category 4 storm. A hurricane watch has been issued for the North Carolina coast. The U.S. National Hurricane Center has called Irla, quote, large and intense storm. Authorities say evacuation plans may have to be put in place in some coastal areas. Forecasters say Irla may become the worst hurricane in almost two decades to hit the area.
At 2:37 a.m. Tehran time, let's give you a reminder of this hour's top stories. The U.S. Federal Reserve warns that America's economic outlook remains bleak. A new poll suggests the U.S. president's critics are set to win the November vote. And the U.S. coast braces for Hurricane Irla. It's said to be a large and intense storm.
Just ahead on this program, trapped miners in Chile. Now, the U.S. President Barack Obama is to officially announce the end of American combat role in Iraq.
It comes 7.5 years after the U.S.-led invasion, which has left scores of Iraqi civilians and U.S. troops dead. Speaking to American troops in Texas, Obama said the end of the combat phase in Iraq is not a reason for celebration. He's also added the speech is not going to be a, quote, victory lap. His comments refer to the actions of his predecessor, George W. Bush, who just months after the Iraq War declared, quote unquote, mission accomplished. Nearly 4,500 U.S. troops were killed in Iraq during this invasion. The U.S. has vowed to withdraw from Iraq by the end of 2011 and hand over the security to Iraqi forces.
But, you know, we've still got a long way to go.
Our man in Washington, of course, we're going to broadcast that speech live in a matter of about 2 hours from now.
Well, moving on with the news, Egyptian authorities say they will not allow Palestinian pilgrims to leave the besieged enclave through the Rafah crossing during the holy month of Ramadan. Ashraf Shannon has the details.
The Islamic Resistance Movement of Hamas condemned Egypt's decision not to allow pilgrims from Gaza who sympathize with Hamas leave for the minor Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca through the Rafah crossing. Israel controls all border crossings with the Gaza Strip, except for Rafah, which is controlled by Egypt and administered by the Palestinian Ministry of Interior.
Egypt continues to humiliate the people of Gaza. Egypt treats the Palestinian people unfairly, and its border guards continue to harass Hamas officials, members, and MPs.
Hamas also accused the Palestinian Authority of refusing to deliver passports to those who want to make the journey to Saudi Arabia. Human rights groups have called for the immediate lifting of travel restriction, saying they violate basic human rights.
This is a major violation of basic human rights and can only be described as collective punishment of the Gazans. This also violates international law.
People here railed at Egypt for preventing Hamas members from passing through the Rafah crossing, describing it as an attack on the freedom of worship. During the 22-day war on Gaza, Egypt kept closed the crossing to put more pressure on Hamas.
They are targeting a group of people that they don't want to leave in order to exert pressure on the Hamas government.
Our religion forbids us from mixing politics with the right to worship. Egypt will not be able to weaken our position.
Observers believe that preventing Hamas sympathizers from leaving Gaza would affect most Gazans, as Hamas won an overwhelming majority of Palestinians in the 2006 parliamentary elections. Gazans say that Egypt is playing into the hands of Israel that tries to put an end to the rule of Hamas in Gaza. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV Gaza.
The Israeli siege of Gaza continues to be the main obstacle for improvement of the living conditions and the quality of life for the Palestinians. Yusuf Al-Halu has more.
Palestinian Federation of Industries has opened its second national products exhibition in 2010 as a display for showing the strength and hope of Gazans despite years of Israeli siege. The exhibition is an initiative from the Palestinian Federation of Industries to promote a range of industrial products that are manufactured in Gaza, including processed food, garment, leather, and handicrafts products. This exhibition is the second of its kind that takes place in light of crippling siege that destroyed the Gazan economy and hindered the manufacturing process.
I wanted to take part in this exhibition to show our products. We managed to use recycled materials as we struggled to import raw materials.
Our product's quality meets international standards. We are very proud that we supply our society with the homemade products in the light of the siege that has destroyed our economy.
Thousands of industrial establishments and factories were forced to shut down due to lack of raw materials and spare parts for their machinery under the Israeli siege. Against this backdrop, and despite the 2008-2009 Israeli war on Gaza that destroyed Gaza's infrastructure, hopes are still high in the coastal enclave. Some factories resumed operation, but at very low capacity, after owners managed to bring in the raw materials needed, either through legitimate crossings or underground tunnels between Gaza and Egypt.
We wanted to show the whole world that there's still a Palestinian industry in the Gaza Strip exists, despite all the obstacles that were placed by the Israelis. And also the other message that there are still industries that is produced using raw materials from the legitimate crossing.
Israel has partially eased its economic blockade on Gaza, but authorities believe 87% of the operational factories are ready to export their goods and products if Israeli restrictions lifted fully.
Gaza industry, the pride of Palestine, is the theme of this exhibition. Participating companies say that in order for their businesses to flourish, the suffocating Israeli siege must be lifted so that they can export and import freely. Yusuf Al-Halo, Press TV, Gaza.
The people of Lebanon are remembering the mysterious disappearance of Imam Sayyid Musa Sadr. The Lebanese government says Sadr and his two companions were abducted in Libya more than 30 years ago. Press TV's Mariam Saleh has this report.
The Tahrir beach in southern Lebanon was filled with people, especially supporters of the Amal movement, who came to pay tribute to the memory of Sayyid Musa Sadr, who was allegedly kidnapped along with two companions on August 31, 1978 in Libya. Imam Sadr was never proclaimed dead. Parliament Speaker Nabih Briri spoke on the occasion and stressed that Sadr's case will remain open in order for the truth to be uncovered.
The case of Sayyid Sadr's disappearance in Libya will remain open. We insist that this case will not rest unless it is resolved.
It is widely believed in Lebanon that Musa Sadr was kidnapped on the orders of senior Libyan officials, and most people consider this as part of a political scheme. In 2008, the government in Beirut issued an arrest warrant for Gaddafi over Sadr's disappearance. Libyan authorities say he and his companions traveled on to Italy, something that the Italian officials denied.
Imam Sadr was kidnapped, and without all the interventions, nothing has been released about his past in order to realize. This reflects how much this issue was planned, and it wasn't a personal issue against a person, but it was like a plan that targeted Lebanon and targeted our unity.
In an interview with a Lebanese TV channel, the son of disappeared Musa Sadr said his father and his companions were still alive in Libyan jails. 30 years since the disappearance of Sayyid Musa Sadr, and thousands still pay tribute to this unique cleric every year. And while sectarian identity is still a dilemma here in Lebanon, his slogans of a unified Lebanon with a strong army still resonates more than ever before. Speaker Birri also linked this occasion with the need to uncover the truth about the assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri.
We call on the Lebanese judiciary to guarantee justice and play a role in the investigation of 2005 assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri. We call for starting an investigation based on the evidence presented by Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
And in a recent statement, Hezbollah said Libya was first and foremost responsible for Sadr's disappearance.
After 32 years of his kidnapping by Gaddafi, till now, Lebanon is suffering from the two major points. He used to say that there is no way to have peace in Lebanon without peace in south of Lebanon.
Abolishing the sectarian boundaries that segregate the Lebanese was something Sayyid Sadr always called for. And although the truth behind Sayyid Sadr's disappearance has not yet been found, his legacy still lives on. Maryam Saleh, Press TV from Tyre, southern Lebanon.
Chilean authorities have kicked off efforts to rescue 33 workers trapped in a mine in the north of the country.
This comes as experts from NASA have arrived in Chile to assist the rescue mission.
NASA's had a long experience in dealing with isolated environments, in particular currently on the space station. We train and plan contingencies for emergencies, and we have a team of four individuals, including myself. And that team consists of two physicians, one psychologist, and one engineer.
The 30-ton hydraulic drill is set to start trying to bore a hole through 700 meters of rock. Rescuers say the mission may take as long as 4 months to complete. Meanwhile, experts from the U.S. Space Agency have arrived in the country to help with the psychological, operational, and health-related aspects of the rescue efforts. The trapped miners are facing the daunting task of living in small, pitch-black quarters with high humidity and 35 degrees Celsius heat, like the one you're watching now.